Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. Now a special Alabama striking coal miners 4 months on the picket line say a fair contract is a matter of life and breath.
Let's begin by listening to a warrior Met coal striker talk about the life of a miner to capture the blood, sweat, and tears of being a coal miner and earning a living.
Right now, around 1,100 people are on strike. All we want is what our brothers and sisters in District 20 right over the hill are making. We want a fair wage. They're trying to take money away from us when they've made billions of dollars. The CEO, I don't have the exact numbers. He has a base salary of around $700,000 a year with millions of dollars in bonuses. And we can't go to the dentist or the doctor as far as like a emergency room visit. You're talking about weeks and weeks and weeks of work to pay for that. So basically, insurance and wages. To make it, I average about 155 to 170 hours every 2 weeks. I have a four-year-old daughter, love of my life, and I've been with the company 5 years now. I come off the road and went to work for her, or here, and I've missed her everything. All we're demanding is what everybody else is getting, a share. A piece of the pie. We just want our piece. Every day, this is my life. Everybody here has a 6-day work schedule. Holidays, if you do get them all, you work every holiday and then reschedule that holiday to have a day off.
Now, we're joined by Cecil Edward Roberts, Jr., president of the United Mine Workers of America, a sixth-generation coal miner and one of the labor movement's most stirring orators. Braxton Wright, striking coal miner, and Hayden Wright, president of a local UMWA women's auxiliary unit. For the first time in four decades, union miners in Alabama are taking part in a historic strike, accusing Warrior Met Coal of exploiting workers and now inspiring violence against them on the picket line. More than 4 months in, the historic labor action has been ignored by CNN, Fox News, or MSNBC, says Media Matters, but certainly not by Building Bridges.
The origins of the strike lie in the 2016 takeover of a failing coal company by Warrior Met, leading to profits for the buyer alongside lower pay and loss of benefits for the workers. The miners in Tuscaloosa County, Alabama, who are caught up in the acquisition, face dramatic pay cuts and weaker safety measures for what is one of the nation's most dangerous professions, leading to multiple charges of unfair labor practices levied against Warrior Met.
Thank you for joining us, Cecil Roberts, president of the United Mine Workers of America.
Well, this is day 114, and I believe it might be the longest strike in Alabama. Mm-hmm. This started in 2016 when the previous owners of these mines filed bankruptcy. That was Jim Walters Resources. They sold the company out of bankruptcy. The judge, see, allowed them to sell these mines free and clear. People who had jobs there were not necessarily going to be rehired. The retirees lost their health care, 2,500 of them. The new company, Apollo, was the largest investor at the time. Said, we don't have to hire anybody back here. We may not. We may not operate under a union contract. If you want your people to come back to work, you're going to have to bargain a contract that we find acceptable. Benefits that people have fought for 100 years we've been there were lost. People came back to work. Some people lost wages as high as $6, $7 an hour. People were required to work 10, 12 hours a day, 6, 7 days a week. Although there were holidays in the contract allowed the company that was formed, which was called Warrior Met. Warrior Met didn't even exist before 5 years ago. For the last 5 years, these workers have worked long hours, less pay, more money out of their pocket, thousands of dollars for health care. They've been fed up with this company over the past 5 years. They've fired people for little or no reason, and people don't even get time to spend with their families. We have a family that's on this call with us today that's been really active in this strike. They can tell you, coal miners working over the last 5 years for Warrior Met have not had enough time with their families. When they are at home, they're totally and completely exhausted. We tried to bargain a contract that took our members back to where they were 5 years ago. What we received for our troubles here was $1.50 over 5 years, which would still put some miners $3 or $4 below where they were 5 years ago. Almost no changes in health care. A lot of money out of their pockets for health care. Workers were presented with this offer from the company. They voted it down by 95% and voted to continue striking, which would at that time only been going on for about a week. They voted in a Democratic union to continue to strike, voted down the last offer the company presented. What the company has done since that day is almost stood right where they were at the time the strike began. They're offering like 30 cents a year over the next 5 years, and workers will still be way behind where they were 5 years ago. So 10 years down the road, they still won't be where they were at the time this company was formed. Been here 100 years. We haven't had a strike in Alabama in the coal industry of any magnitude for 40 years. This company's been there 5 years, and we've been on strike now for 114 days. That should tell what we're trying to deal with. They've gone out and hired strike breakers from West Virginia, Kentucky, and Ohio, and brought them in, as opposed to dealing with the people who made this company and saved this company out of bankruptcy. So this is a righteous cause. Nobody wants to be on strike. We weren't looking for a strike. We're not going to run from one either.
Braxton, why don't we try to translate this to a shop floor level. Could you tell us what your job is at WarriorNet, the conditions there before and after WarriorNet came in, how it affects
MET
workers on the shop floor?
I actually run the control room for a prep plant. With this company, we've been back 4 years in the prep plant, and at least once a year, the company just says, we're going to shut down your prep plant and move y'all to somewhere else, just out of no notice. We've been sent underground, sent to other prep plants, you know, at other locations. It's just not secure or steady. They move us with whatever they want to do. So with the old company, at least done maintenance or something during a shutdown. With this bunch, they don't care about doing maintenance. They run the thing till it falls down and then try to patch it. The prep plant is where we remove the rock from the coal. We only run about a 40% recovery of coal, and the rest of it is rock. When we run it through the plant, we break it down into sizes and then break it down the ash. And the ash would be the rock, you know, left. So once we run it through the plant, we remove all the rock and the shale from the coal, and then that way you can sell the coal.
Now, in terms of other workers surrounding you in your job and other workers in the plant, how are they making out?
It's difficult. Just at number 5 prep plant, we used to run with about 48 employees. With this new company, we're running with 20 employees. We have half the workforce doing the same job. It's a lot of work for that few people.
What about people in other jobs in the coal mine? How are they faring?
It's the same way underground also. They run with skeleton crews, which puts more work on each employee. Longer hours, they hot seat underground, which means you can't leave until the next shift gets there. Sometimes it can take 2 hours for the next shift to reach the face where you're working.
Take us back to how you became a coal miner, what the nature of the family is and the work in that area in Tuscaloosa County. So we really have a sense of the nature of the work and the environment that people are working in. What's your background and how did you get involved in coal mining?
My grandfather worked for Black Diamond Mines out of Adger, Alabama. They moved to West Blockton to live in a company house. My grandfather was injured in the mines. He later passed from his injuries. Then my dad went to work for Black Diamond for a while. He decided that that just wasn't for him. And then when I had the opportunity in 2004 to go to Jim Walter Resources, I went with it, and it's been part of my life since.
How important is, in terms of work, and how much does it envelop the community? Hayden Braxton might want to talk about that, to really create a sense of the coal mining community, what it means to the family. families in Alabama.
My father retired from Local 2397 after 38 years. He actually retired at the bankruptcy. We've been a UMWA family my entire life. My granddad actually helped dig one of the shafts there at that mine site. It's embedded in our communities, especially in an area to where there is not many opportunities for good paying steady jobs. Brookwood is only established because of those mines. And not just Brookwood, but all these surrounding small communities depend on those for work. That's where the majority of the men have worked in our communities. Because up until when Mercedes came in, that was your main source to have a job here that was well-paying, that had good insurance. Well, when we filed for bankruptcy, that all changed. We went from having 100% insurance, which you should, because you're looking at every time your family member goes down in those mines. And guys, these are some of the most methane gas-producing mines in the nation. You have the possibility that there's going to be an explosion and they won't come home. That's something you live with every day. For most of us, we've grown up, and we know that. Now, with this company, they're running skeleton crews. The men are working 10, 12 hours a day. In this last contract, there was no cap on days. So you could actually be scheduled to work 10, 12, 14 days in a row with those hours. The men are exhausted. Well, when you have a skeleton crew, you have overworked employees, you have methane gas, just the general things of equipment malfunctioning. People have been crushed, even coming into the mine site are waiting to be picked up. We had a young man that wasn't here working a year, was actually hit by a man bus, driven by a boss, going too fast, actually crashed into him. Now he's paralyzed. These are extremely dangerous working conditions. That's something that your family deals with every day as well. When you think that your spouse is working there, at home, you're picking up all the extra home duties. They can't. I mean, most of us as wives, we're the ones helping coach T-ball. We're the ones taking the kids to activities. Before this bankruptcy contract, the pay was normally good enough to where one spouse could stay home to help raise the kids because the husbands are gone. When the bankruptcy happened, it not only docked the base pay, $6 to sometimes $7, $8 an hour, it also cut out double time pay, triple time pay, for holidays, for those extra hours. So a lot of spouses had to go back to work. So now we have a ton of children who are used to having one consistent parent. Now that parent's also working as well. Really does affect everyone, and it affects the community on a grand scale. And I'd also like to point out, we do not mine any thermal coal at Warrior Met. Warrior Met, we mine metallurgical coal, which is completely different. Thermal coal is what you use for energy, power, those type of things. Met coal is what you use to produce quality coke, which is used in steel production. That's also something people aren't familiar with. All coal is not the same, and it doesn't have the same purpose. Most of the coal here at Warrior Met is actually sold to develop steel. So this is a resource that we have to have. That's how you produce steel. That's how we have industry. That's how we have all of these things. When Cecil was talking about people being fired for no reason, this new contract has an aggressive three-strike-you're-fired policy. They don't accept doctors' excuses for that. We've had men get fired because they had a wreck or a flat tire on the way to work and couldn't make it on time. Even if you were late, they would give you a strike, but they would still require you to work that shift. If you showed up late, they didn't send you home, but you would still get a strike. We've had men get strikes because they were at the hospital with their families. We've had men get strikes that were in the hospital themselves. Because not to get one, to even use one of your personal days, emergency days, you're supposed to give 24-hour notice. You don't know in 24 hours that you might have someone go into labor, that you might have someone have a heart attack, a stroke. So you live in that fear even at home. Hey, the kid's sick. I'm taking him to the hospital. Do I need to even call? Because if he leaves, he's getting a strike. Well, then he could lose his job. So those are the type of inhumane things that this company has done that people really need to understand. That's what pushed the strike. Not so much money for most of us. It's the insurance. It's the inhumane treatment. It's not respecting the employees and respecting the families that have made them billions of dollars.
Since I hear a youngster in the background, a very small youngster, baby Emily, I wanted you to also create a sense of the fact that coal mining is a community involvement. It has to be the kind of support. And you are working specifically with the Women's Auxiliary. Talk about that and talk about how encompassing the support for this strike is, including with baby Everly and another one of your youngsters, who I believe is 7 years old, who also is on the picket line. Give us that picture and that sense of community.
Donations. We've set up a PayPal account so people could donate nationally and internationally to the strike pantry. What the strike pantry does and what the auxiliary does is we provide food bags every week. We feed all the families at the rallies every week. We provide hygiene products, baby items. We work in every way we can to support the men and the families that are affected by this, because this has gone on for months. We've actually, that I know of, had 4 babies actually born during the strike. We work to support those parents. We have our children there at the halls. They've been on the picket lines. We've talked to them the importance of solidarity, to supporting other people. And I think that that's worth more than any amount of money, is our kids are seeing firsthand what it means to fight for other people, that it really is an injury to one, an injury to all, and that we have to stand up for ourselves and we need to stand up for others. That is a key thing that a lot of people are missing now. And especially in the South, unionization is harder here. One thing making the strike more difficult is that we are a right-to-work state. We've been trying to get the message out, too, about why the PRO Act is important, how that would actually have helped us here in Alabama. We stay busy. We're doing a back-to-school bash for the UNWA children. We have 240 backpacks full of supplies. We have additional supplies. We had a UNWA member, Mr. Antoine McGee, donated a bounce house for the kids that day. Clothing donations we've taken out from the local community so that they can come in and get back-to-school clothes for their children. A local hair salon there in Brookwood, Southern Roots, is actually doing $5 back-to-school haircuts for us for UNWA children. This really has been all-encompassing and really given us as wives and family members a community of support. People that I didn't know before now are like my sisters. We see each other and speak every day. Where they're working things together. That is one positive of the strike. It's that it has given that support system that people who have the same experiences that we all do. We don't function just as a women's auxiliary. We actually have spouses that actually help with the auxiliary and then retirees, because we have female miners too. So we have the actual female miners that are retirees that actually work in one of the locals. We have men that are retirees that work in the locals. So this isn't just women. This is actually just supporters, retirees, members, everyone working together. That is what solidarity really is. It's everyone coming together for the good of the union, for the good of the community.
Cecil, could you give us an overview of the strike demands and also of the developments in the strike since it started in early April?
Thank you so much. By the way, isn't Hayden wonderful?
Absolutely, emphatically. Absolutely.
Well, yeah. She's been very instrumental in this strike and inspiration here, but there's so many other people down there that's chipped in here and done all they can do to make this strike work. Let's remember what a strike is. They're not just the workers that are on strike here. The wives are on strike. The kids are on strike. The people who depend on these miners to make a living are on strike. One of the things to be touched on, and Hayden did briefly, coal mining is a very labor-intensive industry. For every coal miner that has a job, at least 4 other people in the community or surrounding areas have a job. And most of those jobs are the best jobs, pay-wise, benefit-wise, in the communities. The entire community, in some ways, happen to be on strike right now because there's less money going into these communities. One of the issues here in this strike is, where is the money going to be spent? When money leaves Alabama, and I don't mean this in any derogatory sense, but ends up in investors' hands in New York, in many instances in millionaires' hands. That's money that used to stay in Alabama. There's less money for the communities. There's less money for the car dealers, for the people who operate restaurants, stores, businesses of all types. Everybody in the community will be affected by this strike. And what we've said is, which side are you? It's an old labor song that was written in Harlan County back in the 30s. actually met the lady that wrote that song, Florence Reeds, one time. That song tells us a lot. People always have to make choices. The union has to make a choice about whether we want to strike or not. And we don't take these decisions lightly. When we made this decision, the workers supported it. Now the community, now the nation has to make a decision. I want to thank the labor movement across this country for the way they have supported the strike. They have sent donations, large and small. The food and commercial workers have donated over $200,000 to what we have set up down there in addition to the strike benefits we provide of $350 a week. And we provide health care to these workers. By the way, this company is supposed to be providing health care right now. They're not. They've done everything in the world to avoid a legal responsibility to provide health care to these workers, but they're not doing it. We're doing it. So $1 million out of our strike fund has been spent since this strike began April 1st. We're somewhere around $6 million paid out to the workers to support them. Warrior Met doesn't care anything about these workers, but we do. And what this strike's all about is dignity on the job, having a job that you can come home from. Coal mining's the most dangerous job in the world. When you go down an elevator shaft, 2,000 feet straight down, you get on a man trip, and you ride 3 to 5 miles back to the place where you work, and you're in a mine liberating enough methane gas to destroy the entire county if it would all ignite at one time. And you're suffering from pneumoconiosis after 30 years, and a company comes in and says, I don't know if we're even going to hire you back. And if the union doesn't meet our demands, we won't hire any of them back. We don't have to recognize the union because the bankruptcy court said we don't have to. Then you treat people like this for 5 years. People are going to rise up. We don't want to be on the street, but people in Alabama are making a stand here. And the labor movement as a whole is supporting this strike. We're taking this fight to New York City, where our large investors are found and their offices are found. We're going to be demonstrating on the streets this coming Wednesday, the 28th, and we'll be joined by the labor movement in New York. So Sweet Home Alabama meets New York, New York, and as we go through West Virginia, we'll go through the country roads to get there. So I can't say enough for my brothers and sisters in New York who've been so kind to us, particularly the Central Labor Council there. I want to say publicly how much I appreciate this. We all have the same strong view of standing up together and fighting together and for many, many things that the labor movement delivers.
What about the politicians in Washington, D.C.? Where have people who are in the legislature there, have they been at all helpful, or are there things that we should be saying to them to get them on board to support these mine workers?
Politicians don't pay enough attention to these kinds of fights. If we had the PRO Act today, the question really is this. When a powerful corporation treats workers like this, then the workers try to defend themselves. What they get for that is strikebreakers hired from different parts of the country and brought in to take their jobs that they've had for 40 years in some instances. People from the community are losing those jobs to outside strikebreakers. We say, let's pass the PRO Act so this should not be happening in the United States. We go around the world telling everybody how we treat workers better than anybody else. That is, until you strike or you raise up and defend yourself, you find yourself in the situation we're in right now.
I'm not sure everybody knows what the PRO Act is, what that has to do with the strike. So why don't you just educate a little bit on that point?
It would benefit people who go on strike that they could not be replaced by strike breakers simply because they took a stand. It should be. If there's a conflict between the employer and the employees when the contract expires, remember this. Workers are giving up a heck of a lot here to be on strike. They're risking a lot. The employer should be risking something too. And right now, they're working towards not having anything on the table here. They just treat workers like another piece of machinery, so they replace them. The PRO Act, the main thing that would be beneficial here, would prevent the hiring of strike breakers when workers choose to make that ultimate decision to go on strike. And that's the main thing. The PRO Act would also make it, I don't want to say easier to organize, but it would at least make it legal for a change. In 1935, that was the first time we ever had a right to legally organize in this country. Some workers finally got a right to organize in 1935, and then 1947, through the Taft-Hartley Act, they took a lot of those rights away from us. It's become more and more difficult right now when workers try to organize. And by the way, 60% or more of workers who are working non-union right now have said they would join a union if they could do it. What happens? Employers make this a decision between whether you want to keep your job or you want to be in a union. If you vote union, the threat is always there. We'll shut this place down. And somebody's going to get on the phone here or write in or make a point and say, well, that's illegal. Yes, it is, but there's no teeth in that. They can make those threats all day long and nothing happens. Nothing. Organizing drive after organizing drive. Go ahead and vote union, but you won't have a job if you do. So it's a choice now between do you want to be in a union or do you want to have your job. What this PRO Act would do would make that illegal. Workers cannot be subjected to those kinds of threats. But the main thing we're concerned about here is we're facing these strike breakers. Strike breaking in this country ought to be illegal.
Indeed.
An injury to one is an injury to every one of us. Solidarity, brothers and sisters across this country. You can go to our website at umwa.org, or you can go to our Facebook page. All this information, there are videos there of what's been going on the picket line. There's videos of our rallies. All Up to Date tells you about our trip to New York this coming Wednesday, the 28th, and it tells you about our rally on August the 4th. And the address, everything is there. I would invite people to do one of those two things. The website is umwa.org, or you can go to our Facebook page.
Thank you for joining us, Cecil Roberts, president of the United Mine Workers of America, Braxton Wright, coal miner, and Hayden Wright, president of the local UMWA Women's Auxiliary, speaking to us from Tuscaloosa County, Alabama, on strike now in its fourth month.
This has been part one of a two-part program on the Alabama coal strike. Tune in next week for part two.
This has been Building Bridges with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg. Educate, agitate, and organize for the empowerment of we the people, for another world is possible.